Welcome, councillors. Please be seated. Good evening again. So I would like to run through some housekeeping arrangements. Please note that this meeting is being recorded and the sound recording will be made available on the Council's website. Under the Openness of Local Government Bodies regulations, people may film, record, tweet or blog this meeting, and this is outside the Council's control. I would like to remind councillors and the other people attending the meeting that the fire exits are to the rear and side of the room. There are no over alarm tests planned for this evening, but I ask that everyone turns off their mobile phones or switches them to silent so that the meeting isn't disturbed. I would also like to remind councillors when they speak, they are required to stand if they are able to do so. So, to address the meeting, this is a requirement of the Constitution. So, I will now ask Canon Paul Chipchase to say prayers.
Good evening, everybody. We Catholics observe this month of November as the month of the Holy Souls. What that means in everyday parlance is that we keep the month of November as a time of special prayer and remembrance of those who've gone before us. From my researches, there seem to be two reasons why this church has chosen the month of November as a special time of remembrance. And the first is that November is in fact the last month in the church's calendar. Our new year begins on the first Sunday of Advent, which is usually at the beginning of December. So it must have seemed appropriate many centuries ago to dedicate the last month of the year to the last things, one of which, of course, is death. And the second reason why November is celebrated as a month of remembrance is that the month in our calendar is ushered in by two important feast days. The 1st of November is celebrated as the Feast of All Saints, and it's followed immediately by the 2nd of November when we celebrate the Feast of the Faithful Departed. I'm always rather intrigued and puzzled by the distinction, but the first of those two feasts really is simply those who've already been recognized, or as we say, canonized as saints. The second feast is for those other saints who haven't in fact been formally recognized yet. So these two feasts on the 1st and 2nd of November set the tone for a month of remembering those who've gone before. And of more recent vintage, Remembrance Sunday also occurs in this month of November, on the Sunday nearest to the 11th of November, which is of course the date of the armistice at the end of the First World War. So across both the civil and the religious calendars, we have this focus on remembering the dead and prayer for the happy repose of their souls at this time of year. Of course, Remembrance Sunday, and the Mayor will speak about the remembrance service at the Carry On this coming Sunday, these have a special focus on those who have died in warfare and conflict. The First World War, as we know, was presented as the war to end wars. Tragically, in our time, we know all too well that that aspiration has not been achieved. And this Remembrance Sunday, we will be including the fallen in more recent and indeed ongoing conflicts in our prayers and in our acts of remembrance. So let us pray in this month of November for our loved ones, for those whose lives have influenced our own, for all who have been members of this council or officers of the borough, and for the fallen. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Amen. And may the souls of all the departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So the first item on the agenda is the apologies for absence, and I've had apologies from the Honorary Alderman Bush, Stott and Tormey. Are there any other apologies? I believe Councillor Popley isn't here tonight, so he did send his apologies. So, is there anybody else? No? So I'll now move on to item two. Disclosures of pecuniary interests and other registrable and non-registrable interests. I will now call on the Chief Executive to report on disclosures of interests in the business to be considered at this meeting.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have had no disclosures made prior to the meeting. Are there any from the floor? Thank you. Councillor Lennie.
I'd like to disclose that I'm a member of the Parish Council, Shepshed Town Council, and a member of the Shepshed Town team.
We move to item,
By which item that's in relation to?
It's in relation to one of the questions from one of the councillors that was answered by...
Okay, thank you, Councillor. I don't think... Thank you.
Okay.
We move to item 3 minutes of the previous meeting. I move that the minutes of the meeting of the council held on the 4th of September 2023 be confirmed and signed as a correct record. In doing so, I draw your attention in relation to minute number 50. Motion on notice about the Leicestershire Pension Fund. A response was received from the chairman of the Pension Committee and circulated by the Chief Executive to all councillors on the 24th of October 2023.
Second the minutes, Madam Mayor.
Does anyone wish to raise anything on the accuracy of the minutes? If so, please state the minute number. Right, so thank you. I will now sign the official minutes. And I have them here before me. We'll then pass to the Democratic Services. All right. So the next item is item 4, announcements. There are a few. Loughborough's street fair openings will be on Wednesday, the 8th of November, and as Mayor I will be formally opening the fair and reading the charter from a fairground ride at 5:50. All are welcome to come along and have a good evening. Armistice Day service will be held on Saturday, the 11th of November, and that Armistice Day service will be in Queen's Park in Loughborough, and all are welcome to attend from 10:50 a.m. Then on Sunday, we'll have the Remembrance Service and Parade. It is a great personal honour for me to take part in this year's Loughborough Remembrance Service and the parade on Sunday, the 12th of November. All are welcome, and councillors are requested to come along to John Storer House for a 10:15 a.m. And be ready for the procession to the Carillon Tower. Following that, the Loughborough Christmas light switch-on will be on Sunday, the 26th of November, and these will be in the town centre and switched on. And finally, for December, Monday the 18th, I will be holding a community carol service at All Saints with Holy Trinity Parish Church at 7 p.m, and again, everybody is invited to attend. So we then move on to 4.2, the leader's announcements. I call on the leader to make his announcements.
Madam Mayor, I have no announcements to make.
We move on to 4.3, chief executive's announcements. I call on the chief executive to make his announcements.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have no announcements to make.
And the next item is item 5, petitions. Are there any petitions to be presented?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have a petition to present on behalf of the residents of Byron Street in Store Ward. They've been subject to youths riding recklessly motorbikes, both sections of the road, and they would like it to stop, please. Here is their petition.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bring them, and we will consider and respond in its accordance with the council's petition scheme. So we move to item 6.1, changes to the constitution. I call on Councillor Ashcroft to propose the item.
Madam Mayor, for the reasons set out in the report of the Cabinet on page 15 of the agenda, I move the recommendations also on page 15 of the agenda. I've got a short introduction to the paper. So this paper recommends changes to the Constitution relating to, firstly, procedures for dealing with planning applications, and secondly, to the composition of the Audit Committee. So firstly, the proposed changes to the Constitution with regard to the procedures for dealing with planning applications follow from an independent review of processes commissioned in February 2023 and carried out by the Planning Office Society Enterprises. The proposed changes to the Constitution described in the report follow from recommendations from this independent review. The reasons for the proposed changes are described in some detail in the report. However, in general, these follow their ambitions of improving processes to tackle known issues, increase efficiency, and to better follow best practice. The proposed changes to the Constitution relating to the membership of the Audit Committee follow the CIPFA, Chartered Institute of Public Finances and Accountancy, position statement that audit committees of local authorities should include at least two co-opted independent members to provide appropriate technical expertise. This proposal was supported by the Audit Committee at their meeting on the 19th of September. This report recommending changes to the Constitution was identified for pre-decision scrutiny and discussed at the Scrutiny Commission meeting of 9th of October. In their report, the recommendation was that the Cabinet should be informed that the Commission welcomes and supports the recommendations set out in the report. And then in their meeting of the 12th of October, Cabinet resolved that it would be recommended to Council that the changes to the Constitution set out in Appendix A of the report be made with effect from the 1st of December 2023.
I second this, Madam Mayor, and reserve my right to speak. Thank you.
Thank you. If any councillors would like to speak, would you please raise your hands? Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. There's three amendments that the Conservative Group would like to put forward to tonight, but I'll deal with them one by one as I've been advised by the officers. So the Conservative Group do not support the changes made at Appendix A regarding the reduction from 5 minutes to 3 minutes for speakers at Plans Committee. The Conservative Group would like all references to 3 minutes removed from Appendix A and all references to 5 minutes added back in. This is to allow speakers their democratic right to put their views across and for their voices to be heard. We are here to represent our residents and for this Council to provide first-class services to our residents. To do that, you need to listen to their voices. I understand there was issues with the Plans Committee, which they fed into the review about the length of Plans Committee, but I think cutting 2 minutes from each of the speakers will only reduce the meetings by a very, very short period of time, and I think that the administration and the democratic services need to look at different ways to reduce the length of the Plans Committee, because I do agree they are far too long and councillors can't be expected to be there till sort of 10, half 10 at night, having a meeting and keeping their focus for all of that. So I think if there's a need to reduce the length of the Plans Committee meetings, then the agenda planning needs to be better and look for elsewhere for reducing the length of Plans Committees, but not reduce our or our residents' voices.
Thank you. And is there a seconder to that?
Madam Mayor, I second that proposal. Thank you. Sorry, and I reserve my right to speak.
Does anybody wish to speak on the amendment? Sir Hamilton?
Yes, I just briefly want to say that I can understand, you know, there is a real debate is 3 or 5 minutes, and I know that certainly I've been part of conversations, and it's a very nuanced argument as to whether you go for 3 or 5, and we fully sympathise with that. Although I will not be supporting the amendment, because an independent review has suggested 3 minutes. People do have the opportunity to have written submissions where they can give all the details they wish to do, and then the 3 minutes can just summarise the key points. If you give a longer written submission, that gives the Plans Committee time to kind of digest the points that are being made. So I know it's not a black and white issue for me, and I'm also aware that this is something that perhaps can be revisited in the future. But since this is recommended to be best practice, I would be supporting that we go with the 3 minutes, and then that's something we can revisit later on. See, it's not a black and white issue for me, I understand, but I think recognising external advice that 3 minutes is regarded as best practice amongst councils, I will not be supporting the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Snott? Thank you, Ms. Councillor. Yeah.
You seem a long way off, Madam Chairman. Madam Mayor. I refer to paragraph 19 of the papers, which states the matter was discussed at all member briefing on the 26th of July, and it was largely felt by councillors present that 5 minute slot should remain in the interest of democracy. Since that time, I believe I have not seen any of this an item for further discussion on any briefings that have subsequently taken place. Therefore, as the paper suggests, this has been put forward by officers without further discussion with members. I would be interested to know why the lead member, knowing that councillors were largely against removing the 5 minutes, has not communicated with members to reach a satisfactory conclusion before placing this as a change to the Constitution. This change not only affects the process at Plans Committee, but it will affect the way that this part of the democratic process is seen by objectors, supporters, and organisations such as parish councils, who, in my opinion, sometimes feel their voices are not being heard with this important part of the democratic process. I support the amendment and for those reasons. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Anybody else wish to speak? Mark.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I don't very often speak at full council. I make a lot of noise elsewhere. And I also make a lot of noise on the Plans Committee. I don't know how many of you actually sit on the Plans Committee, but to see the passion that comes through those speakers in that 5 minutes, that's where a decision can be made. And to cut them down to 3 minutes is just going to be grossly unfair. I would support the amendment. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Infield.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So I, like the rest of members here, was introduced to these changes some time ago. They've also been discussed at scrutiny, I understand, although I'm not part of that committee. And what puzzles me is that at those times, there were no critical voices raised by the people proposing this amendment.
Not true.
Well, that's I mean, when I was present, there certainly weren't. Officers, I think, went out of their way to explain the background to the required changes, and they followed the guidance that was given them externally, and I say no reason not to follow that now. So I also feel, as someone who's spoken to Plans Committee with regard to a called-in proposal, that I think actually in 3 minutes you can get your main points across. And so anything that speeds up the process, I think, is to be supported. Thank you.
Anybody else would like to speak? Councillor Bain.
I'd just like to say that 3 minutes is 3 minutes, which will be okay for one person. But if it's a multi-member ward, then each only gets, in a three-member ward, 1 minute. And it's not necessarily the case that those three people each have, are all from the same party and each have the same view. So I think it's incredibly undemocratic to reduce 5 minutes to 3 minutes. What I see is the reduction in the democratic right of the resident and whoever speaks on their behalf, us of course. So I shall be voting for the amendment.
Thank you. Councillor Campbell. Thank you, Councillor. There's another hand here. Councillor Brooks.
Madam Mayor, I'd just like to echo what's been said tonight. The reduction from 5 minutes to three, I think, is ludicrous. I think it just goes to show some of the lack of experience shown across the council. When they have something contentious come up in their ward and they need to talk on that, they'll soon see how quickly 3 minutes goes, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Yeah. So, Councillor Seaton, you please. It's sometimes it's a bit difficult to see who they are.
Councillor Roberts. I fully understand why people would be reluctant to change 3 minutes to 5 minutes on the planning committee, but this report has been compiled by an outside agency that has looked at how our planning procedures work and how other planning procedures work. We would be remiss not to heed their advice, because I'm assuming that we paid these professional people for this report. So if we've paid money and then we don't follow their advice, how does that make us look? And if other councillors, other councils are only having 3 minutes at their planning meetings for residents and councillors, why are we still having five? It's an interesting question on process, and we could change this for a year, and then if we don't like it, we can change it back.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I didn't want to prolong the debate on this one, but I won't be supporting an amendment, and I don't think we will be on this side. And I just wanted to clarify the suggestion that scrutiny had to say. We sat on Cabinet, and unfortunately scrutiny didn't say anything about this issue. So I was also surprised that we have a chair of scrutiny from the opposite side that didn't bring that up. But we've only been in charge for a few short months, and planning is one of those things that we need to address because it's not functioning properly. And this is the one way of addressing it. We've had outside consultants come in, and they've suggested, like many of our neighbouring authorities who have 3 minutes restrictions, to go for 3 minutes. Some of these plan committees can go on for 3 or 4 hours, and I don't think it's fair on the members that sit on that committee to have a meeting that long. I don't think it does any justice to those agenda items that are further down the agenda when councillors have, you know, have debated for so long. And I think this is an excellent example where we've actually listened to officers, to the expertise and to the advice, and we thought, yes, okay, you know, we understand the passion about having it at 5 minutes, but we need to see the reason. This is where the head actually rules the heart on this debate. And I'm, you know, I'm conscious that I don't want to prolong it any further, but I think we'll give the 3 minutes a go. And as Councillor Roberts says, if that's something that we, you know, think that should be reinstated back, we'll have a look at it, but after fully analysing the impact of the change. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Fryer.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. I have been, in my 20 years on this council, lead member for planning, chair of planning, and obviously representing my residents and the council. I don't think we need to compare ourselves with other councils. We are Charnwood. We're not any other council. We're looking at what's best for Charnwood. And I would like to point out, I don't believe that this report was written, as was pointed out by one of the councillors on the other side, by the consultants. I was chair of planning when those consultants came in, and a consultant advises, and we then work it for ourselves. I have sat through long planning meetings and short planning meetings, and I am happy to support this amendment. At the end of the day, we are here to support our residents and our businesses, not to make things easier for us. If people don't want to sit on planning, nobody makes them. And it's up to the planning committee to work it out themselves. The good chair can also help make the meeting move smoothly and can make it move to point. As I was chair for a long time, and I think people would agree with me. So thank you very much, Madam Mayor, but I will be supporting this amendment.
Thank you, Councillor Vaughan. Councillor Hadjinicolai.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I like mathematics, but actually the entire gravity here is actually 3 minutes and 5 minutes. No, the gravity here is the right to speak. This is the important thing here. People have the right to speak. This outside consultant, what a disgrace, they want to reduce the right to speak by 40%. Just do the mathematics. I think it's a disgrace. Thank you.
Councillor Matthews.
For me, some of the items that can be discussed at plans can be quite complex. So can you do that in 3 minutes? I think one of the points that's being forgotten here is that you don't have to use the full 5 minutes. It's not compulsory that you have to stand and talk for 5 minutes. Some items you could do in 2 minutes, some things you can do in 4 minutes, some things you can do in 3 minutes, but occasionally there will be that time when you will need to stand for 5 minutes to get the point across, particularly a complex point, and therefore I will support the amendment on that basis.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to stand and say, heaven forbid that we should not think for ourselves. I'm a new member. I've had experience of going to Plans Committee, and I've seen firsthand and experienced how 5 minutes just absolutely flies by, especially when you're trying to split that and adequately represent the people that you have spent weeks or even months listening to and trying to understand where they're coming from. This is the one chance, as representatives of the people we have, to summarise concisely everything that is most important to them. At the last Plans Committee, we had people in tears at the end, so relieved they had people adequately who had given up their time and represented them. I ran for this position to best represent my residents, and they will get the best deal if we support the amendment and stick with 5 minutes. Anything other than that, and we are selling our residents short.
Anybody else wishes to speak as a final word? Councillor Needham.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I wasn't going to speak on this because I thought most things had been covered. As a Green group, this was one of the concerns that we did have when this was first proposed, that a reduction in time, you know, may give less rights to residents being able to represent their views, etc. But after the member briefing, after some scrutiny of this item, we kind of came around to the idea that actually 3 minutes is, I know people on the opposite side don't agree, but it is quite a length of time. And there's also opportunities, there's three opportunities for representatives of the public to speak at that Plans Committee. And then there's the option for applicants to also speak. But one of the things that I hadn't initially considered that I think is quite important to also remember is that the applicants, particularly in large developments where they've got experts in to speak on that 5 minutes, they will use that 5 minutes to go through every legal aspect with a fine-tooth comb. They may have more knowledge, more legal background than a resident or a councillor will, and they will use that full 5 minutes to their advantage as well. So I think it's important to think about it from that aspect as well, that you've given the applicants 5 minutes there, and that that may slightly disadvantage residents and community representatives. I have spoke at Plans Committee before. I think that 3 minutes is enough to get across the key points, especially when, as you can have the ward councillor, you can have member of the public, you can have parish council representation. I think that's still quite a lot of time. And as members have also pointed out, this isn't necessarily a permanent change. So if we do find that actually it's not worked well for residents, we can reconsider that at a later date. So I think given that the PRSC came in, they're trying to assist us with streamlining our planning services and making sure that these things get decisions in timely manners so that the council is not open to risk. I think it's worth trying just for now and seeing how it goes later. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Seaton.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillor Ashcroft did talk at the beginning when he introduced this change, the Amendment 1, as increasing efficiency, and that is a desirable result of changes. We always do things to reach efficiency, to do something easier, to do something more efficient. And we are talking today, as we are councillors, we're used to being talking. We're used to having an audience listen to us. We haven't necessarily got those nerves there. Where as a resident speaking for the first time to a committee, and we are daunting, councillors are daunting to talk to. Some have a preconceived idea, but they are speaking from their hearts, from something that will alter their lives, they believe will alter their lives. That might not be the case, and the planning application will go through, but they've been given the opportunity by Charnwood to talk about their fears, why this is going to disturb their lives. Now, you're saying about developers. They'll utilise the 3 minutes just as equally as the 5 minutes. But that extra 2 minutes a resident will need, because they'll go off piece. They won't necessarily follow a nice typed speech like developers have or the councillors have. I think it's very undemocratic. I've not actually sat on a plans committee meeting for 4 years, I don't think, but I've never, ever sat there till 10:30. So I'd like to know how many council meetings go on that long. We know it's not just 2 minutes because people have to get to their seat and then get back to their seat. So it might actually be we're talking about 4 minutes extra or 5 minutes extra. But that will only add to a certain degree of timing on our council meetings. And that is not, it's not something huge. It's not something that will put us out, but it is something that will alter that resident's impression of us, an impression of them being able to get over their point of view. I will support the amendment and not support the proposal. Thank you.
Councillor Seaton, I now call on Councillor Ashcroft to sum up, and you have 5 minutes.
Okay, thank you, Madam Mayor. There's been quite a lot of points made. I think there's been many good points, and I'm going to try to condense them. So the first one, obviously the subject here is about reducing the speaker time from 5 minutes to 3 minutes. The principal reason not to do this is because it's restricting the democratic right of residents to have their views heard, and it's thought for people who have put forward this amendment that 3 minutes is not long enough compared to five. It's also admitted that plans committees can be too long, but other places the agenda should be looked at or agenda control to limit the time. Another point was made that this should have been further discussed, and another one was that the 3 minutes can be sometimes divided by a number of different speakers, so each will get less than 3 minutes. Okay, so those are the main points which I've jotted down which were supporting the amendment. There were a number which were against the amendment. So the first one was that we commissioned an external review which had an investigation, and their aim was to try and streamline processes, and they were looking at best practice, and it was following their recommendation. Another point that was made is that we can have written reports which make the main arguments, and that the speaking should be just to make key points. And in 3 minutes, you should be able to make the key points because you shouldn't be trying to make the whole case. Another point was made against was that it had been discussed at scrutiny, and this recommendation hadn't come up from scrutiny. And last one is that there are a number of people speaking, and also the officers will have looked at written reports and evidence beforehand, and they will also represent. You might also get representations from councillors, residents, and people like parishes as well. So that's my summary. Thank you.
To the vote on Amendment 1. So those for the amendment. And those against. So the amendment is lost. Thank you. We'll now go on to Amendment 2. And who is going to propose this? Is it Councillor Taylor?
Clarification. In the Constitution, a councillor who has already spoken in a debate cannot speak again except to speak once on any amendment moved by another councillor. So therefore, can I suggest that for the second amendment, that it be swapped round, that councillor, possibly Councillor Seaton, speak as the proposer, and then Councillor Taylor speak as the seconder. And then for the third amendment that I'm aware of, you will need to have a different proposer and seconder.
Right. Councillor Seaton, are you happy to?
Yes, I'm happy to do that. Thank you. Right, the amendment two is to, hold on just a minute, it's to remove the suggested sentence at the end of the paragraph. Is that what I'm reading out? Yeah, well done. In addition, if, following a call-in which has not been withdrawn, officers believe that the issue raised by the ward councillor in his or her call-in have been addressed, officers will submit the recommendation report, which is prepared for each application, to the ward councillor. The report, which will contain a summary of the main issues regarding the application, will enable ward councillors to consider whether they wish to maintain or withdraw their calling of application. So, the last sentence on it says, ultimately, the chair or vice chair in their absence will decide if an item will be added to the committee agenda. The Conservative Council do not support this paragraph as it takes away the ward members' democratic right to have a planning application they have called in to be heard at the Plans Committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Seaton. Councillor Taylor.
I'll second the amendment and reserve my right to speak.
Thank you. Does anybody else wish to speak? Councillor Tillotson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I understand why this has been proposed, but I don't support the amendment, because we all know as councillors that people in our community often ask us to call in an application. And if we know anything about planning, we may well know that even if we sympathise with what the member of the community has raised, that in planning terms, there are no planning rules to support what they're saying. But you still, as a councillor, feel you're obliged, because you're representing those people, to call in an application, which takes up officer time and planning committee time, and in the end, it's futile. So I think this is a good move. It allows someone separate from the councillor who's called it in to assess whether it has a chance of success, and therefore I can't support the amendment.
Thank you. Councillor Snart.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Firstly, the wording in my view is not clear. Ultimately, the chair or vice chair in their absence will decide if the item will be added to the committee agenda. Is this the next available agenda or any agenda? Perhaps the lead member will clarify whether the administration considers this appropriate wording to be added to the constitution. I note that within the POS Enterprises Review, it is stated, nationally to the end of December 2022, 96% of all applications nationally were delegated to officers, and Charnwood, 97%. Was slightly above the average. This suggests to me that the council are not out of step in this area of the call-in process. Therefore, I cannot understand why this has been added to the process. I believe this may be a step too far, which in my opinion will affect the democratic process and will be seen by people and organisations such as parish councils and the residents groups missing an opportunity to have their say if the chair of the plans committee decides the planning application is not added to the next available plans committee agenda. This could also add to a political aspect to this process. Therefore, for these reasons, I support the amendment.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who wishes to say anything? Councillor Fryer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I won't repeat my history on this council. I have to agree with the amendment and also my fellow councillor, what Councillor Snart has just said. I think it's badly worded, but I think it could be seen on occasion as a political manoeuvre. We've all been in opposition, we've all been in power, and I am sure that this council at the moment is completely neutral, and particularly when we come to planning committee, it is not political. Planning committee is not a political. We are there for the whole of the resident, and this could, in our constitution, be seen as giving power to a chair or a vice chair to decide what is going to be on the plans committee. And therefore, I wholeheartedly support this amendment. We're giving it to the wrong people, I'm afraid, and one day it could be me sitting back in that chair, but I would not like to have to do this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I can see why councillors on the other side may be a bit confused. Firstly, it's not a political change. You know, we know Plans Committee is quasi-judicial and everybody follows their own heart and their own mind when making the decision on that committee. This is basically just to give the checks and balances to the chair of plans. So, for example, let me give you an example of what might involve. Say a ward member's called it in, highways issues, and it goes all the way through. At this moment in time, it has to automatically go on to the planning agenda, regardless of what the highway committee might say, highway authority might say, and they might say there's no highways issues to refuse that on there. So what this gives us is an opportunity to take it to the chair of plans to say, actually, nothing's changed. The call-in process has happened, but because it's on a highway ground or whatever ground they say, but let's say a highway ground, because it's on a highway ground, the highway authority haven't objected. They haven't said there's an issue there. So there's no planning reasons to actually refuse this application or not. So this then gives food for thought for the chair of plans, who, let's face it, you know, the planning committee agendas are quite big. So gives them the opportunity to say, actually, we'll keep this off this agenda, off the item, and give it to officers to decide on it. This does not then take away from the people who have put the plans through at all. It does not prevent call-ins at all. It's just a final check before it goes on the agenda of the plans committee. Not everything needs to go on the agenda of the plans committee, because I think Councillor Tillotson said it right. Sometimes we get pressured on by residents to pull a plans committee through or comment on a plans committee, and we do that because we represent the people that have elected us or are resident in our borough, but necessarily we can't refuse it on planning grounds. And then this gives us an opportunity for somebody else to have a look at it and say, actually, there's no planning grounds for this call-in, so we're not going to have it on the agenda and prolong that meeting further. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Councillor Taylor.
I think I've been rendered a bit speechless, to be honest. I'm not sure I can, just what I've heard from the other side. I think you do realise that you can't call in a planning application unless you have planning reasons. So we don't, specifically on not this side, you might on that side, we don't willy-nilly call in applications for no reason, because they won't be accepted by officers. So all the plan applications that are called in are with valid planning reasons. And I think on this side, as experienced councillors, we know when to withdraw our call-ins and when not to withdraw our call-ins. And I think we have a democratic right to have our call-ins heard at Plans Committee. And it just seems ludicrous that you have a call-in process, because we as councillors, or because of what our residents have told us, or the impact on our areas, have that democratic right to call in an application to be heard at Plans Committee. You're now telling us that it's down to one person, one single person, to decide whether that gets heard at Plans Committee or not. You take away all our democratic rights as councillors, you take away all our residents' voices to have that application heard at Plans Committee, to enable them to speak, to enable us to speak, because of one person. We do not operate control in this council.
by one person. We operate here at Charnwood on a committee basis on them agreeing on a decision. So there seems no point in having the calling process if one person can say, no, that's not being heard. That takes away all democratic right of this council. And I'm absolutely disgusted that you could even think that that is the right thing to do for this council. I just, in disbelief, sitting here, reading, hearing the stuff that's coming from the other side tonight, you have no concept about what this plans committee is about. You have no concept of our residents' views or what your residents that you're representing, because I bet none of your callings will get refused by the plans chair, but it'll be all ours. And I think, I'm sorry, but this is a political decision. This is not about you being on the sides of our residents. We're not confused on this side. We're experienced councillors. We know what the courting process is. We know when to call in applications and we know when to withdraw them. So I just stand here in total disbelief that you think it's right that one single person can decide whether your calling gets on an agenda or not. Absolutely disgusting. And I will be supporting this amendment.
Councillor Ashcroft, you have time to sum up.
Okay, thank you, Madam Mayor. Okay, so this is our second amendment, and this is about the ability of a chair, after a calling has been reported on, to then remove it from the agenda so that the calling isn't heard, so it's not added to the agenda of the Plans Committee, if there's the feeling that the issue has already been settled. Okay, there are a number of points made to support the amendment to remove this, this ability of the chair to remove the item. First of all, the main issue or the main point was made is that it's removing a democratic right to have a planning call-in application heard at the Plans Committee.
Can I ask the members to speak up? I can't hear them. I'm quite young, so I just can't hear them at all.
Sorry, do you want me to start again from the beginning? Yeah, yes. Okay, so starting from the beginning. So this is an amendment which wants to remove a sentence which gives the chair of the Plans Committee the decision to decide if a call-in, after following a report, to remove it if the thought is that the issue has now been removed and it's no longer relevant. Okay, there's a number of arguments been made for this amendment, in other words, to remove this right of the, or this power of the chair to remove the item. First of all, the main one is that the argument was made that it would remove an important democratic right to have a planning call-in application heard at Plans Committee. Another argument that was made was that this decision to delegate to officers is already very common and that this is an actually representing a large number of cases, so therefore it's not needed. Another point was made that this could become political if the person who was given the power would then make agenda decisions based on political considerations. So arguments were also made against this amendment. First of all, there was a point was made that it allows somebody who's separate from the ward to make an independent decision, which might be difficult for the ward member themselves. Another one is that it would streamline when there are agenda items which shouldn't be seen, but there's pressure on them for them to be called in, even though there's no good grounds for doing so. For instance, we're given an example where the issue had been completely dealt with and we would still have the call-in. And another argument was meant that this does not restrict the right of a call-in or for residents' concerns to be read. It just means it won't get onto the final plans committee and there'll still be a paper trail of what their concern was and how it was dealt with. Okay, that's my summary, thank you.
We will now go to the vote. Those four. Is lost. We now go to amendment 3 on single member wards. Councillor Baker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is also about democracy, which seems to be lacking this evening. Concerning the issue for single-member wards, if the councillor has a disclosable interest in the application, they are not currently able to nominate another ward councillor, i.e. in another ward, to call in the planning application to the Plans Committee. Currently, in a two-member ward, if one of the councillors has a disclosable interest, the other councillor could call in the application. So the issue identified as a conflict does not apply. The Conservative group would like this added to Appendix A. I'm not really hopeful following what's happened this evening. Single-member wards. If the councillor has a disclosable interest, to allow them to nominate a fellow ward councillor to call in the planning application on their behalf. This is to allow members to action call-in on behalf of their residents. And I am a single-member ward. And effectively, if I have a disclosable interest, I cannot call in that application, which means that my democratic right is taken away. It's appalling.
Thank you, Councillor Boker. We're going to Councillor
Simpson. Need a seconder.
Yes, we need a seconder. Thank you. Are there any comments from the floor? Anybody? Councillor Snart, and then Councillor Mayer is nodding. Councillor Harper Davis as well.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I wrote to officers about this issue that occurred in my single member ward on the 10th of January 2023. This I followed up with the POS Enterprise Review Team. When a single ward member has an interest in the planning application, they are unable to call in that planning application. I note the PSO recommendations. The council introduced new provision in its planning protocols, which allows members of the Plans Committee to nominate another councillor to exercise their call-in and public speaking functions on their behalf. The review team view is that the decision for the council as the issue of democratic representation is a general matter outside the scope of the review. But I do feel that it should be explicitly clarified, particularly with the prospect of more single ward members. And tonight we've heard that we're following the PSO recommendations. In my view, this should be extended to all single ward members. I note that the proposed constitution allows another member to speak on their behalf, but not a call-in situation where a single ward councillor has an interest in planning application. It would be interesting to hear from the lead member, who have asked twice tonight and never had an answer, whether there is an agreement that this proposed change to the constitution is not consistent with the findings of the review recommendations. Therefore, I support the amendment to allow a single ward member to nominate another councillor to request a call-in on their behalf. As it stands, the single ward councillor is unable to carry out the democratic right, the same as other wards which are not single member wards. I hope this amendment will be supported by councillors, especially the ones who represent single ward areas within this council. I support the amendment.
Thank you, Councillor Mayer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The party opposite had over a decade in power when they could have changed constitution. And I suspect they didn't change constitution because the advice from the monitoring officer was that if you have a disclosable interest in a single member ward, if you ask another member to call it in, you just pass on that disclosable interest. This isn't new advice. This advice would have been given probably to my predecessors as well. Hence, the constitution didn't change. Again, we didn't get this from the scrutiny commission. It didn't feed through at all. It didn't come to cabinet. We've had numerous questions at cabinet from members opposite. This was never raised. And if it was raised, I'm sure it would have been answered as I'm answering now. So there's no there's no way of us changing the rules that would allow us to, you know, negate this interest that you'd pass on. And we can't go against the monitoring officer's advice. I'm sorry, we just can't. It's just one of those things this administration won't do and won't put us in any perilous situations. So it's just one of those where we've had the advice. It says the way we're doing things that are correct at this moment in time, and I'm happy for us to stay that way. Thank you.
Councillor Harper-Davis.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm quite shocked, actually. In all my years as a borough councillor, supporting our Charnwood residents, I believe that your side of the table this evening are being totally intransigent and totally pedantic. All of the amendments are for the better of our residents, and I think if we were on your side of the table and you put these proposals forwards as solutions to us, we'd certainly give them due consideration. So I'm quite shocked that you're just being nitty picky when all we want to do is help the residents. And these are amendments, which are important amendments. You can change that now. I'm just really quite ashamed, to be perfectly honest, that you can't look at these proposals with a right frame of mind and consider them and give them due consideration, really working together, not against each other, for the best of Charnwood residents. And I certainly support all amendments. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
I don't think there's anybody else. Oh, Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just want to come back to the point Councillor Mayor picked up, which is on point 11 on page 24 on here, about there being a conflict if you pass over that disclosable interest from one councillor in a single member ward to one in a corresponding ward. Well, that works in a two member ward. I'm in a two member ward with Councillor Baines. If I have a disclosable interest, he can call it in. Well, surely that's exactly the same. I'm passing on my disclosable interest and asking Councillor Baines to call it in for me. So that, excuse me, I'm talking. Do not butt in, thank you. So that.
Don't be rude, please.
Come on,
you're so rude.
So in a two-member ward, you're able to get your fellow councillor to call in that application if you personally have a disclosable interest. That's all we're asking in a single-member ward. But yet again, the other side here want to block the democratic right of councillors and their residents to be able to call in application to be heard. But I mean, from what we heard tonight, A, they don't want the call in, B, they wouldn't let it on the agenda anyway. So it kind of like this third amendment is just a waste of time anyway, because if they just want to block everything and give their voice, their residents no voice at all and just control everything, which I think is pretty pitiful. But we need to give the same right to single member wards. I believe you have a single member ward on your side, so I'd be interested to hear what their feelings are. But you probably told them what to say anyway. But I think it's just absolutely disgusting that you are not allowing a single member ward and giving those residents a right to have their planning application heard at plans committee, because you can't pass it over to another ward. So it needs looking at. I know you're going to vote it down anyway, but I just think you're blocking residents' voice. Thank you.
Councillor Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Can I highlight that, as Councillor Mayor pointed out, this has been running for years when the Conservatives were in power, and it wasn't changed, because that would have been the monitoring officer's advice. A two-member ward is fundamentally different from a one-member ward. I realise it is a gap, and it's frustrating. But in a two-member ward, if a councillor has an interest, they simply withdraw. They withdraw from the process. They don't nominate the other councillor. It is up to the other councillor independently to assess what the issue is and decide independently to call it in. If a single member ward nominates another councillor, they are passing on their interest. That is the fundamental difference. It is not the same as a two-member ward, where you withdraw and let the other councillor independently call it in. It's a frustrating issue, and I recognise that, but that's the situation. And that's why the monitoring officer says you cannot nominate another councillor to do that, because by doing so, you are passing on your interest. Thank you.
Councillor Fryer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Well, points have been made tonight that this side of the chamber was in power and administration for X number of years, and we didn't alter it. What is currently is agreed or in the Constitution. Well, sorry, we didn't. But two wrongs don't make a right. So therefore, we're looking to the administration to correct the mistake we didn't do. They're very happy, normally, to correct our mistakes that we've made over the years. So we've highlighted and we hold our hands up, yes, we should have altered it, but we didn't. But that's no reason why you can't alter it. And also, I'm quite surprised tonight, having been lead member of various parts of this council for some years, various lead members, we haven't heard one word from the lead member for planning, and we've been discussing it now for over an hour, and I would be very interested to know what the lead member for planning thinks about our amendments. So I will be supporting it, and as I say, two wrongs do not make a right. And I'm very surprised also that some of our other councillors who are not in the majority are just willy-nilly following the majority sitting there. And some of them surely can stand up for themselves and say what they feel about some of this. I am disappointed in 20 years to listen to what's being said by the opposition to us, not or the administration. They're not showing good leadership. I'm very sorry. Thank you.
Councillor Seaton, you wish to speak?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillor Hamilton assumed and intimated collusion in two, or in my case, three member wards. My member ward would be Thurmston. I share that with two other councillors. So if, as an experienced councillor, I deem to call something in, it is because it has a good planning reason why I call it in. Now, I've decided to call it in because it has a good planning reason. Councillor Lowe might decide to call it in because there's a good planning reason. Or Councillor Jackson might decide to call it in. So we're not colluding with each other. It affects our ward. We share that ward and those responsibilities. So we're not colluding. We're not giving a personal opinion to somebody else. We're working independently. And as an experienced councillor, I wouldn't do a call in if I didn't think it had merit on a planning application. Thank you.
Councillor Jaduka, did you wish to speak?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I wasn't going to, but I will. Yes, thank you. I just want to say that I am quiet because I have full confidence in the comments that have been made on my side, and I have nothing further to add. If we're talking about disappointment, I have to say that the tone that this has taken from the opposition is very not positive, and I think that I would agree with everything that my colleagues on this side and the administration have commented. So I hope that clears what my colleague, of course, was saying.
Fine, I think we've heard enough then. So is there, Councillor Baines, you've reserved your right to speak, haven't you?
I certainly did, Madam Mayor. Thank you very much. I think we perhaps come across as negative, Councillor Khadija, because we disagree with you, and we disagree with you wholeheartedly. Why is it that what's good for the goose is not good for the gander? Why cannot councillors from Forest Bradgate, Nampanton, Woodthorpe, South Charnwood and the Wolds not be able to nominate a neighbouring councillor, just like the other multiple member wards can when they have a disclosable interest. To remove this right is both undemocratic and, well, ludicrous, but I appreciate that we didn't do it and we should have done. Is undemocratic how the Labour Green Alliance want to be known? I shall be voting for this amendment. Will you, Councillor Worrell, or are you happy to sign away your democratic right?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll hold my book sideways. Can you hear me now? Okay, so what this amendment is about is the amendment would like an addition that in a single member ward, if a councillor has a disclosable interest, they're allowed to nominate a fellow councillor to call in the planning application on their behalf. Now, the main argument against this is the advice from the monitoring officer is that if you nominate somebody to represent you in this, you're passing on your disclosable interest, and therefore you can't do it. So that's the advice from the monitoring officer. There was a notice saying this is not fair because on a multi-member ward, you can nominate somebody else, but then I think the argument was made, no, you can't, because then you'll be passing on the disclosable interest. However, somebody else in the ward can independently do it. And this is seen as an difference between a single member and a multi-member ward, which might not be ideal, but it doesn't mean we can fix it by going against what we've been told as a monitoring officer, what we can actually do and what we can't do.
Now go to the vote on Amendment 3. So those for? Those against? So this amendment is lost. So we're now going back to the substantive, or the original motion. So, Councillor Mear.
Does anybody wish to speak?
Does anybody wish to speak before we do that? Councillor Forrest.
Yes, you're probably going to tell me not to do this, but it's... On the other side, lots of little conversations and little meetings are breaking out. I don't think that this is the proper way to conduct this chamber. We're not doing it on this side, but the honourable opposition are... Can we just put a stop to it, please? Sorry?
Does anybody wish to speak on the original motion? I can't see who's pointing.
It's because there's still some general noise in the room.
Proved that. No.
Just asking to stop. Councillor Mear has got reserved his right to speak.
Yes, Councillor Mear.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillor Ashcroft explained in his opening statement that we had an independent body that came in regarding this. It seems a long time ago after having three amendments being moved. But I hear the arguments for and against. You know, I've listened and I've heard. I don't agree that we on this side are taking the democratic, undemocratic, or are being undemocratic. I don't believe that at all. What I do believe is that we inherited a planning system that was on its knees, that had applications 2 years in the system that hadn't been decided and needed sorting out, and that's what we're proposing to do. Yes, it's a start. It's all by all means a start, and we'll get there, and we've directed the officers, and they've been fantastic in their response to it. You know, we've been in charge of in nearly 6 months, and we're quite fair-minded as administration. We know that passions run deep, and we know that we might not get everything right. But on this instance, we have to give the benefit of the doubt to the people, the professionals that came and said to us, look at this, do it this way, and see what the benefits and the differences are. Because if we didn't give the opportunity, then what's the use of having them in? On the third amendment, and I know it's been voted down, but it shouldn't have been brought. It's against monitoring officers' advice. I don't know if Councillor Deborah Taylor, who originally was going to move the motion until I pointed out that she couldn't speak three times on the amendment, on the main item, is that if you had emailed the monitoring officer, he would have given you that advice and you would never have brought it here, because why would you bring something that is against the monitoring officer's advice? Do you want to put the council on the wrong side of the law? I don't know. Maybe that's what you wanted to do, or maybe you wanted to trip up the administration. So it's disappointing that you brought that. Madam Mayor, that's all I say, because I'm just very disappointed that, you know, it's gone this way.
I'm Councillor Ashcroft, if you'd like to sum up, please.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to remind everybody that this motion has got two aspects to it. We've discussed one aspect, and particularly amendments to it, but there is a lot of changes. So both in the one with the dealing with the planning application procedures, the changes aren't just what we've discussed today. There's a whole raft of them, and the aim of them is to try and improve the processes. And that's why we're getting independent review. So I know there's been some heated arguments, but I'd like us all to remember that we wanted to improve the procedures, and there's a lot of measures within this motion, which I think will do so. And the second one is to change the composition of the Audit Commission, and this is because this is what we've been advised to do to follow the actions. So that's my summary. So thank you.
Right, then we go to the vote on the... Councillor Taylor's raised her hand.
Madam Mayor, the Conservative group would like a named vote on this motion, please.
So we need a seconder, I think,
two members to ask for a recorded vote. So that's been proposed by Councillor Taylor.
And Councillor Boker.
And Councillor Boker. Recorded votes.
So we want a recorded vote then. Right.
Okay, thank you, councillors. I'll read out each councillor individually. If you then could tell me if you are for, against, or abstain. So, need my glasses for this, apologies. Councillor Ian Ashcroft.
I'm for the motion.
Councillor Paul Baines. Yes. Councillor Liz Blackshaw.
For the motion.
Councillor Jenny Boker. Councillor Naomi Bottomley.
For.
Councillor Julie Bradshaw. Councillor Sarah Breaker. So is that again? Sorry. Councillor Matthew Brooks, Councillor Roy Campbell, Councillor Mark Charles, Councillor Rhys Corey-Losley, Councillor Lee Harper-Davies, Councillor Andy Dent, Councillor Faye Ford, Councillor Claire Forrest, Councillor Sandy Forrest, Councillor Sarah Fox,
against,
Councillor Hilary Fryer,
against,
Councillor Sarah Good, Councillor Anne Gray. Councillor Beverly Gray. Councillor Leon Hajai Nicolaou. Councillor Colin Hamilton.
For.
Councillor Andy Haynes. Councillor David Infield. Councillor Gina Jackson. Councillor Kanjan Jajija. Councillor Louise Jones. Councillor John Knight. Councillor Jeff Lawrence.
For.
Councillor Jane Lenny, Councillor Mark Lowe, Councillor Glenn Matthews,
against,
Councillor Sarah Maynard, Councillor Jewel Mia, Councillor Sarah Monk, Councillor Laurie Needham, Councillor David Northage, Councillor Chris O'Neill, Councillor Julie Palmer,
for,
turning over leaf, Councillor Poppy's not here. Councillor Shona Rattray. Councillor Miriam Roberts.
For.
Councillor Brenda Seaton.
Against.
Councillor Margaret Smidowitz.
Against.
Councillor David Snart. Councillor Deborah Taylor. Councillor Nat Taylor.
For.
Councillor Jenny Tillotson.
For.
Councillor Lee Wesley.
Against.
Councillor Sandra Woodward. Councillor Brigitte Worrell.
Four.
Okay, if you may have just a minute to make sure we've totaled them up. Thank you.
It's carried 28 to 23.
Madam Mayor, could I just ask for a quick adjournment, for just a short adjournment?
Yes, I'm happy to grant a 15-minute adjournment.
It doesn't need to be that long.
I don't know where that came from, but I'm happy to. It was Councillor Baines. Yes, we'll have a 15-minute adjournment.
Thanks.
If you could be back for 5 past, please.